It's the Christmas season, and a guy walks into a bar in Atlanta, Georgia, and notices a nativity scene behind the bar. The three wise men are all wearing firemen's hats. He asks the bartender, "Why are the magi all wearing firemen's hats? And the bartender says, "Well, everyone knows that they came from afar." Now, Lois Siegler and I are about the only ones in this congregation allowed to make fun of Southerners and their accents. I realize there are other Southerners in our congregation, like Donna Hunt from Florida, but true Southerners like me debate whether Florida is actually part of the South, since it's so full of people who are our neighbors here in New Jersey, especially during these cold months. Lois still has a beautiful Southern accent, and though I don't have that, I grew up in Atlanta, and I have a deep love for the city, even though sometimes I also poke fun at it. I start out with a little bit of humor, cheesy as it may be, and we have big fun with children dressing up the three magi, or three kings, in worship, because the appearance of the magi is an experience of great joy. The gospel tells us that when the magi saw the star they had been following and stopped over the place where Jesus lay, they were overwhelmed with great joy. Overwhelmed with joy. Can you remember the last time you were overwhelmed with joy? Did you laugh so hard that your body abandoned its normal controls as you unleashed a deep belly guffaw? Did your eyes squeeze out tears of happiness? Or was your overwhelming joy experienced more internally as you experienced an awareness of the blessings around you? Did you feel gratitude? Did you feel deep peace? Last week, as I told the children, Ali Etedali, a friend of our congregation and spouse to Suzanne, sent me an email with links of pictures from a church in Iran called the Vank Cathedral in Isfahan. I hope I pronounced those correctly. Ali, who grew up in Iran, remembers that he loved spending much of his free time in the bookshop across the street from the cathedral. And if you know Ali, it's easy to imagine him doing this as a boy. But when I clicked on the pictures, I saw beauty that was far more than what I had expected. There was a ritual, awe, and reverence that stepped outside of what I know to be an everyday church experience. Each photo, whether it featured men, women, or children, leading blessings, receiving blessings, practicing the worship, each picture was full of more colors than I could count. It made Roman Catholic cathedrals look quite simple and plain in comparison. The church leadership wore robes, each one a different and vibrant color. The walls were covered in tapestries and gold and paintings of biblical scenes and saints. The priests and bishops did have really cool hats, and I regret that I don't know the names of the different kinds of hats and what they mean. One was a deep navy with gold embroidery and stood at least two heads taller than its wearer. Another was cream-colored with blue and gold embroidery and a cross at the top. Did I mention that they wore capes? My awe is not so much that I have vestment envy. I like my robes. But instead, I see in these church people in Iran descendants of the Magi. They seemed like they would be the kind of people to bring boxes brimming with gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a christening. Indeed, tradition holds that the Magi were astrologers who had traveled from the east, namely Persia, which is where Iran is today. The Bible doesn't say how many there were, so please do not be bothered by the fact that at our children's Christmas pageant this year, we only had two magi. Western Christians have assumed that there were three, perhaps so that one carries each of the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Even the Greek term for magi, it was derived from an old Persian name that refers to the Persian priestly castes from Zoroastrianism. They were more likely astrologers than kings. It wasn't until hundreds of years later that people started calling them kings rather than magi. So what can these magi teach us about finding Christ, and in doing so, help us to find overwhelming joy? We can discover from the text a few magi tricks, if you will. First, look for the light and learn what it can teach you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. These words from the prophet in Isaiah that we heard today make me think of the concept of enlightenment, which I have learned from Eastern religions like Buddhism and Hinduism. Enlightenment can mean both filled with light and with an ability to see divine or true nature. We call this day in our church calendar Epiphany Sunday. An epiphany is a moment of seeing with true clarity or awareness, an ability to see things for how they really are. For the wise men, they were able to see not only light, but Jesus as the bearer of God's light. Not everyone has the ability to truly see the makings of joy, even when they're lying right around us. Spiritual practice and searching for light may clarify our ability to see the light, to recognize the appearance of Christ in surprising places, and see the makings of joy, knowing how to build them into our lives. Another magi trick is to be willing to humble yourself lower than a baby, lower than a child. Whether you call them magi, wise men, or wise kings, these guys were not so fancy that they would not bow themselves lower than a baby, lying in an animal feeding trough. Compare that to Herod, the Roman appointed ruler of Judea. Herod was so afraid, so insecure of the power that could come through a little baby, that he demanded that all children under 2 years old, born in and around Bethlehem, be slaughtered. There is no secular historical confirmation that this slaughter of the innocents actually happened. However, the Bible describes Herod as committing infanticide, this violent act, and it forms an important parallel to Pharaoh's slaughter of the Hebrew children in Exodus, out of fear that one of them would supplant or overtake his power or authority. Moses survived from those Hebrew babies. Jesus survived from those Bethlehem babies, largely because his parents escaped as refugees and headed into Egypt. The idea that a baby can be the one to upset political order and change the world gives a different understanding of where holy power comes from, not by authority and might, but by very humble origins. The Magi had a sense that in Jesus, the tables would be turned. And they were not threatened by this child, but instead humbled themselves before him. If you know me, you know that I am a believer that we too should humble ourselves before children. Their needs and vulnerabilities should have preferential treatment. Whether for healthcare, education, protection from violence, or even a place in the sanctuary to wiggle. We have as much to learn from them in their capacity for wonder in their ability to love and availability to receive love, and in the possibility that brews inside of them. I was heading into worship this morning, and Mexen, who is in kindergarten, ran up to me, and he announced to me, "This is a great day. There is nothing wrong in the world." Now, that's a child where I need to sit at his feet and study and learn from him. He has some spiritual gifts that I need to be aware of and pay attention to. A third magi trick. You may return home on a different path than the path that brought you to Christ. This magi trick was performed when the wise men rejected the demands of an oppressive ruler, Herod. The magi listened to a dream in which they were warned not to return to Herod, when they would not participate in his oppressive rule of domination. And so they went to their home country, taking a different road. Several of you have spoken with me about the ways you were brought up in the church or how you first came to church. Some of you lived in a place where Christianity might have been a new thing, where it wasn't the assumed practice. And you came to church because a friend invited you, or because you felt you were missing something from your home. Others of you were brought into church because it was expected of the culture and of the family around you. Some of you may have had an intense experience of the Holy Spirit or a deep sense of being bound in a community of faith. And I believe there were ways that you had genuine experiences of God's grace through these earlier places and people, church, that they indeed led you to Jesus and to his love. However, for some of you, there may have also been a rub in those earlier practices of faith. Church people misusing power, hypocrisy, using the Bible as a weapon against vulnerable people, aligning the Christian faith with the culture of wealth and domination. I know for some in this church, the only way your Christian faith has been able to survive and even grow has been to take a path that is different from the one that initially led you to Jesus. Personally, some of the people who nurtured my early life in the church, who helped me to grow to love Jesus, were also quite racist people. And it's a hard thing to unravel yourself from racism, especially when it's taught by people who love you and people who you love back. But it's also been in the church that I have learned some of the tools to resist and even exorcise the demons of racism in the name of Jesus Christ. This is one of many ways that my journey with Jesus looks a little bit different from the road that brought me to him in the first place. Jan Richardson writes, "Do not expect to return by the same road. Home is always by another way. And you will know it not by the light that waits for you, but by the star that blazes inside of you, telling you where you are is holy and you are welcome here." So, there you have a few magi tricks to lead you on your journey. May you discover light. May you discover overwhelming joy. May you discover and rediscover and discover again Jesus Christ. Amen.